Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the No Halftime app. You can find the app on the Apple Store and Amazon.com. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, November 3rd. I am your host, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1, green like the color. And today, I am joined by my man, the wild card, the wild man, Tyler Watts. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Daniel. How's it going, man?
Good. I know you've been sick. How are you feeling? You feeling a little better?
I'm feeling a little better today. My voice is still a little scratchy, so I'll apologize for that.
The cool thing about the Thursday, Tyler, is there's five games. And I think for Thursday, that's about as good as you can hope. I mean, normally, you know, Thursday, you got the two TNT games. And, you know, normally you get maybe like one other game. They show maybe on NBA TV or a League Pass. But for whatever reason, on Thursday, there's five games. So that's awesome. So yeah, I'm pumped up. It's a nice slate. And then a nice slate of basketball.
You always love it when there's a few extra games to watch, too. Especially when one of those TNT games maybe isn't one of your favorite teams and you just want to flip on a League Pass game and enjoy that.
Yep. And especially for DFS purposes. I mean, there's such a big difference between having three games and five games. When there's like two or three games, you know, it's very hard for me to play cash games because it's hard to differentiate lineups. So having a five-game slate, you know, allows you to, you know, differentiate lineups. And I think I'll play a decent amount of cash, and then obviously I'll play some nice tournaments on Thursday. So with that said, man, let's talk about the games. You know, the game everyone's going to be looking forward to the most is Russell and Durant are finally going to play each other. Now, so OKC is at Golden State. The over-under, as you can imagine, is a monster because right now these are the first and second ranked teams on pace. However, OKC had a slow game tonight against the Clippers, so that probably will change, you know, by Thursday when you guys are listening to the podcast. But OKC, Golden State, 226.5 over under. The problem for this game, Tyler, is Golden State's favored by 12 points. So can OKC, who's now undefeated at 4-0, can they keep this close? If they keep it close, man, I want a lot of players from this. But I mean, I just don't know if they can. I mean, what are your thoughts about this game?
Could the deck be stacked any further against OKC tomorrow? They just played the Clippers tonight. It was a late night game. They got to travel to Golden State, who has arguably the best home field advantage of any team in the NBA. And on the second night of a back-to-back, you can't love their chances. But they are undefeated, like you said, so maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a little nervous for this game. I'm not sure. You know, obviously I'm going to have some action on it, but as of right now, I'm not sure how many cash game players from this game I'm going to use. But just for basketball purposes, I hope OKC can keep it close, and I hope Russell goes nuts. I'm sure he's gonna shoot the ball a million times. So that's the top game of the night. Everyone's looking to. Well, there's some other games, other really good games too, with some great over unders. We got Boston at Cleveland. Now, right now, Cleveland is an 8.5 point favorite. The over under here is 210. This game also, man, this game screams blowout to me. I think the spread by the time on Thursday morning and Thursday afternoon, I think the spread's going to go up. I wouldn't be surprised to see if Cleveland's favored by 10, 11 points. I mean, Boston played Chicago today on Wednesday night. Again, we're taping this. It's late. It's about 1, almost 2 in the morning on Wednesday, late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning, I guess. But Boston played Chicago on Wednesday night, had a really, really tough game with them. Al Horford's he's in concussion protocol, so I'm not sure if he's going to play against Cleveland. Also, Jay Crowder went down with a really bad ankle sprain. I'd be shocked if he plays against Cleveland. So if they have no Horford, no Crowder on a back-to-back against Cleveland, man, this game screams blowout to me, Tyler.
Yeah, but LeBron was at that World Series game party in tonight, so maybe he's not going to be ready to play. No, Cleveland's going to blow him out.
But the Indians lost, so LeBron wasn't partying with them.
Yeah, but LeBron was – didn't you see him flexing his muscles and all that?
Yeah, I saw him, but think about it. If Cleveland would have won, I think the whole Cavs, especially like J.R. Smith, would have been out partying. But since they lost, you know, I think Cleveland should be fine.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting a blowout in that game, kind of.
Yeah, other good games. Indiana at Milwaukee – as Tyler and I were discussing pre-show, I mean, I don't understand why every Indiana game so far this year they've had a really high over-under. I mean, maybe, you know, obviously Vegas is smarter than me, so I'm going to trust Vegas here with that over-under. I mean, that's really juicy. Indiana's a two-point favorite. So, you know, Indiana's been a tough team to predict. I mean, they have a lot of guys who need the ball, a lot of guys who need shots. It's hard to figure out which one of their guys is going to go off. But with that over-under, there's going to be a lot of guys from this game that I think I'm going to target.
I totally agree. And I mean, I think that, you know, they're crazy in the sense that they have a lot of ball handlers, a lot of good players, a lot of good shooters. And, I mean, Milwaukee's been giving up some points too, so I can see why the over-under is kind of high, but I wouldn't have guessed that high.
Yeah. Then you got Denver at Minnesota. Another great over-under, 209. Minnesota's had a tough stretch start. They played Memphis twice, so they're kind of, all their kind of stats, to me, at least to me, are a little misleading, because Memphis plays at such a slow pace. So I think finally Minnesota gets a nice matchup here versus Denver, 209 over-under. Minnesota's a 3.5-point favorite. There's a lot of good guys. There's a lot of guys I love here. Finally, I think I'm going to jump in and play tons of Karl-Anthony Towns. I thought Chris Dunn looked great in his first game starting for Rubio. I love LaVine. So we're going to jump into plays in a minute or two, but I love lots of guys from this game. And finally, Tyler, Sacramento at Orlando. Not a very sexy game. Lowest over-under by far of the night, 199. Orlando's a one-point favorite. It's only a five-game slate, so you probably can't overlook any games. But if there is a game to overlook, it's probably going to be this one.
Totally agree.
Let us move on, my man, and talk a rundown the best plays by position. We'll start, as always, with point guard. As always, point guard is loaded. Westbrook, we don't need to talk too much about Westbrook. One thing I'll say is I don't understand FanDuel's pricing system. It drives me nuts. I mean, Westbrook was $12,000, right? Then he went up to $13,000. He had a monster game and still hit value at $13,000. Then for tonight's game, it went down to $12,000 for some odd reason. And for Golden State, it's at 12. It's back to 12.2. So I think the price is reasonable. So he needs to basically hit 60, you know, 61, 62 FanDuel points to hit value. Again, the only concern I have here is can they keep it close? Russell's averaging 69 FanDuel points on the year. His usage rate is tops in the league. I think it was about 41%, which is just scary. It's just awesome. I'm going to play tons of Westbrook. I just don't know as of right now, do I want him in my cash game? Like, that's a big question for me. I think I do only because he must want to just destroy Durant and this Golden State team. But it's you know, obviously that price tag, that's a big number. So what are your thoughts? Is Westbrook a cash game play for you tomorrow or on Thursday?
He is, and here's why. I think he's going to take like 40 shots, literally. I mean, he's going to be so upset at Durant leaving him, and I think he's just going to shoot the ball every chance he gets, which is going to be a lot.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about fading Westbrook is everyone will be playing him on Thursday. So if you're in big tournaments – I know you're going to want to play him, and I definitely would, but definitely have a couple. If you play lots of lineups like me, I would definitely have some lineups where you fade Westbrook and just hope that he's like 70% owned. And then, you know, let's say he only scores like 50 FanDuel points, and it's a blowout, and then you're ahead of 70% of the field. So it's a good way to differentiate yourself, and that's the way you got to think. You got to fade Westbrook in some big tournaments, hope Golden State blows him out, and then you got to shop for some good money. The second-ranked point guard, Steph Curry. I mean, this guy, his price keeps dropping. Lowest I've ever seen it, 8.6K. Now, he still really hasn't hit value on the year, but he's been consistent. He's been scoring actual points. He's just not doing the peripheral things. He's not getting the assist steals that we're used to. It's got to change one of these nights. I don't know which night it's going to be. As of right now, I'm going to play him in a lot in tournaments. I don't know if I'm gonna use him in cash. I'll probably drop down and use Kyrie, who's a little bit cheaper, a little bit safer of a floor. So Curry, I'm still waiting for him to bust out. He had a monster third quarter in his last game. He had the 23 actual points in the third quarter last game. So I think he's due. It's just a matter of time.
I totally agree there.
Yep. Third point guard, Kyrie. Kyrie is always underowned. He's 7.8K. To me, that's that price is too low. I mean, he's more of like an 8.3. 8.5. $100K player. I think eventually that's where his salary is going to settle on. So the issue with Kyrie on Thursday is this: they're playing Boston. I don't like to play guards against Boston. Boston's guards scare the hell out of me. That's why I didn't play any Dwayne Wade on Wednesday night. Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. I'm pretty sure that one that they're just gonna like they're gonna like Mike Tyson someone and rip someone's ear off at some point. Like they just play, they're such good perimeter defenders. So that's the only concern I have here for Kyrie. Although still that price tag, I think he does have a very safe floor. So I think he's fine for cash games.
Totally agree there. I mean, it's just too cheap. Boston's a good defensive team, but it's going to be hard to keep them out of your lineup.
Yep. Next up, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is going to be a tournament only play for me on Thursday. He's 8K, so he's expensive. He's actually been somewhat consistent this year, but still he's still somewhat scoring dependent. He's been averaging 40 FanDuel points on the year. So, coming on the back to back, with potential blowout versus the Cavs here, I'll definitely have some IT exposure, but it's going to be tournaments only.
I totally agree.
Next up, the Wild Man's favorite player in the NBA, Jeff Teague. I'm gonna let you take this one.
I don't know that he's my favorite player in the league.
I'm just messing with you.
But he's 6.2K. They're playing Milwaukee tomorrow. I definitely don't love the play. He's been struggling a little bit, and I think he's just kind of trying to fit into that offense and dealing with Monte and Paul George, two guys who also like to handle the ball. They're still kind of working out the kinks, so I'm probably avoiding Jeff Teague tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna use him in maybe one or two tournaments just because I think he's gonna be really low owned. I don't even know how if he has a safe floor. I don't even think he does, quite honestly. He's been between 17 and 34 FanDuel points this year, so the floor is not really safe. The ceiling's not really safe. Don't go in a house with Jeff Teague because that house is gonna fall down right on you right now. But with that said, a 5-game slate, he's not that expensive, so I'll probably have a tiny exposure in tournaments maybe. Again, I think the over under for this game is tremendous. So, if it really is around 213, who knows, man? I mean, Teague did. I think he's had over 40 FanDuel. No, I guess his high was 34. So, yeah, I'm gonna use him only in a couple lineups. Dude, he used to be good, right? Like, when was he good? Me and Mark talked to him on the season long podcast, and we easily could name or Mark easily named 15 point guards better than Jeff Teague.
Well, I mean, I think that the league, as far as the league goes, like the point guard position has maybe never been better. I mean, there's so many great point guards right now. About 2 years ago, though, Jeff Teague was looking pretty awesome, and then Schroeder slowly started eating into his minutes, and then,
Yeah, I mean, there was a really small window when he was like an all-star caliber player, and I just don't think he's that anymore. Now he's just like a he's like an average point guard.
Totally agree.
Next up, Marcus Smart. I'm surprised that Marcus Smart's 5.2K. We mentioned Boston's playing at Cleveland, so he played 33 minutes against Chicago on Wednesday night, and I think he started the second half because Crowder sprained that he got a really bad ankle sprain. So if there's no Crowder and Smart is starting on Thursday, I might have some exposure. Now Smart's a tough guy to play because he's not a really good scorer, he's not a really good shooter, so you need him to fill up the box score in other ways. But if Crowder's not going to play, I'm definitely going to have a little exposure in tournaments.
I mean, I totally agree. He got big minutes tonight. They got the injuries. I don't really think they have anyone else to play if Crowder's out. So, I mean, he's going to get minutes, and at some point in a tournament, maybe he goes off.
And I also say if Smart's going to start, that may scare me from I bet they probably start him on Kyrie, so that would probably scare me a little bit. I wouldn't maybe lower my how much how many lineups I have Kyrie in as well, because I think Smart could play some pretty good defense on Kyrie. So that's just something to keep your eye on. Next up, a guy that I love for Thursday night, like Chris Dunn. He's starting for Ricky Rubio. Minnesota has a great matchup versus Denver on Thursday. Like, I was really shocked. Like, I was really surprised at how well Chris Dunn looked in his first game starting for Minnesota. He played 29 minutes. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And the best of all, 5 steals, and he had 31 FanDuel points. Like, he looks great. I think I got in trouble on a podcast a couple days ago making fun of Ricky Rubio, saying he's not a very good defender. But you know what? I'm gonna double down. If I'm Minnesota, after watching Chris Dunn, like, honestly, I would try to trade Rubio. Like, I like Chris Dunn that much, and that was just watching him play like one game. Like, he really surprised me.
I think Dunn has some really good length for a point guard. He's got some really long arms, and I think that could make him a pretty good defender. And specifically for tomorrow, I mean, Emmanuel Mudiay is a very high turnover point guard, so you could see Chris Dunn getting another 2, 3, 4, 5 steal game.
Yeah, right now I love Dunn. I have him locked in my cash games, and I'm using him, and I'm going to use him a lot for tournaments. Now, I may change that because, I mean, do I really want a rookie in my cash games making a second start? But like, that's how impressed I was watching him play. And again, he's cheap. He's dirt cheap. So if he gets 30 minutes on Thursday against Denver, against, you know, terrific matchup, man, I don't see how he doesn't get value. So, I really like Chris Dunn. Next up, man, Ty Lawson, Drunken Ty, 4.9K. Like, this guy's playing 35 plus minutes, Tyler, and his salary keeps going down. It's like unbelievable. I can't believe there's a starting point guard playing monster minutes under 5K, but that's Ty Lawson. Like, he just hasn't been that great. You know, he played 37 minutes last game and had 13 FanDuel points. So, I mean, the matchup at Orlando, I mean, I'm going to play a little Ty Lawson just because that price is so low. So if I want to, like, stack up on that Golden State OKC game, you know, I mean, you could basically play a Ty Lawson and Chris Dunn and then get all the big guns in the rest of your lineup almost.
I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I don't think that the floor is tremendously high for Ty Lawson, or the ceiling is tremendously high for Ty Lawson. But, I mean, if you're looking for 25, maybe 30 points, if you're lucky, I mean, you can take a shot on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I don't know. I'm trying to think, if Ty Lawson exploded, like, could he get, what would be a monster game? Like, 30 FanDuel points, 35?
I'm thinking right around 30.
I think he does have one or two in him, man. Obviously it's very hard to predict. Orlando, not a great over-under, 199, but I will definitely play a little Ty Lawson. I mean, you could even throw Ty Lawson in some cash games because he's just that cheap. He doesn't, you know, he's got to get you 24 FanDuel points hit value. So, I don't love Ty Lawson, but I'll play him a little bit. Last up, Tyler, a guy that you mentioned, and I think rightfully so, and that's Jamal Murray. I mean, if you want to punt point guard tomorrow, here you go. Jamal Murray, I didn't even know who the hell that was. I'm not going to lie. And I thought I knew just about every player in the NBA. So Jamal Murray is Denver's backup shooting guard. Gary Harris and Will Barton are both out on Thursday night. So that opens up some minutes. Right now it looks like Jamal Murray is going to be the one to start. And, you know, if you got to start a starting shooting guard at 3.5K, it's worth a shot.
Yeah, he's a rookie, and I found it funny. We mentioned this pre-show. He doesn't even have his picture on FanDuel.
Yeah, FanDuel, so, fix that, man. That's a diss to Jamal Murray.
So apparently they were with you. He's kind of a combo guard. He played a little point guard in college. Obviously, he's a first-round pick this year. And, you know, we don't really know what to expect, but he's minimum salary, and the potential's there to get 30, 35 minutes. So at 3.5K, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, and just remember that even though he's basically the shooting guard or backup shooting guard, he's on FanDuel, he's a point guard because FanDuel just likes to mess with our heads. So just keep that in mind. All right, let's move on to shooting guard. As always, shooting guard not as good as point guard, but it's not bad especially for a Thursday night slate. Giannis is the top guy. I just love Giannis. Everything about him is just fantastic right now. 9.7K versus Indiana. Monster over-under of 213. Now, the matchup against Paul George is scares me maybe, 5%, but he just is the Bucks are just so dependent on him for everything right now. I think he's a tremendous cash game play. He's locked in my cash game, and I will play him a ton in tournaments too. He's so good right now.
And that's what you love too, is he's going to do everything. He's going to assist, he's going to rebound, he's going to steal, he's going to block, he's going to score. So, I mean, how do you go away from a guy like Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, every night is something different. I mean, like, and there's going to be nights where he puts it all together and it's going to be monster, 70 FanDuel point explosions. So, that at 9.7K, it's expensive, but he's worth it.
Totally agree.
Other than that, the second year, your second shooting guard spot, that's where it's going to get a little tricky for cash games. Avery Bradley, he's 6.7K on the back-to-back, though, against Cleveland. I mean, he's expensive, but I guess I understand why he's jumping up in price. I mean, like, I've watched every Boston game so far this year. He has, man, does he have a green light. Like, he can gun, like, he can shoot whenever the hell he wants. Like, he's getting the ball and just unloading. So, you know, and obviously he plays great defense, so he's locked into a lot of minutes. As long as, if Boston can keep this game close, Avery Bradley's probably worth a spot in some tournaments. Although at that price, I don't think I want him in cash on Thursday night.
Totally agree with that.
A guy that I right now might want for cash is Zach LaVine. With, now, without Rubio, I love Zach LaVine versus Denver. You know, the first game without Rubio, he only played 29 minutes and had 36 FanDuel points. But, you know, they absolutely blew the hell out of Memphis because Memphis was, you know, resting their top eight players, which I don't understand why the hell they're doing. But they are, so that, you know, Zach, you know, the Minnesota starters didn't have to do much. But Zach LaVine has looked great this year. You know, without Rubio, I expect him to play some point guard too if Chris Dunn struggles, you know, at all. So right now, Zach LaVine's probably going to be my cash game shooting guard, and I'll play him in tournaments too.
Totally agree. And, I mean, you got the situation of, you know, he might have a rookie guarding him and Jamal Murray most of the game, and rookies tend to struggle on defense. I actually really like Zach LaVine tomorrow.
You know what? Yeah, it's funny because I'm just looking at the – yeah, Minnesota's only 3.5-point favorite. So you would think with all those guys from Denver banged up that would, Minnesota would be a bigger favorite more, but they're not. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That he's matched up against Jamal Murray. I mean, he should be able to destroy Murray, you would think. All right, moving on. Klay Thompson, you know, he's just like Steph. I mean, his price keeps falling. It's down to 5.7K. I mean, Klay Thompson has a talent of like a 7.5, 8K player. So, you know, this is a pretty phenomenal price to be able to get Klay Thompson. I mean, we all know he's capable of getting 40, 50 FanDuel points on any given night. Now, it's going to be – those nights are probably not going to be consistent, which is why the price is so low right now, because, you know, obviously with Durant, there's the shots just – there's not enough shots for all four of those superstars. So, you know, and there's a blow-up potential here. So, Klay, I'm probably not going to play him in tournaments, but he's got a pretty nice floor, and the ceiling is immense. If that game stays close – you know, and Klay gets hot, I mean, he could put up a monster number. So he's going to be in a lot of tournaments for me on Thursday.
You want to play a fun game?
What's that?
How many shot attempts do you think Klay has been getting so far this season per game?
Wow. 12?
16 and a half.
Wow.
Which is only a little less than one, less than he got last year. How many three-point attempts would you say Klay Thompson is taking?
Wait, so what's he shooting? Is he shooting horrendously?
Well, I'm getting there. How many three-point attempts do you think he's taking a game?
Well, if he's getting 16 shots, he must be getting like seven threes.
Exactly seven threes. Okay, yeah. You want to hear the percentages now?
I do.
40.9% from the field and 10.7% from three-point land.
Dear God.
Tell me the blow-up game is not coming, though, where he hits like 6 of 7 threes and nails 12 of 16 shots.
Wait, so what's his actual numbers in threes this year?
Hold on, I have to switch it. But he's making 0.8 out of 7 per game.
That's horrendous. Wow. Yeah.
So 3 of 28 for the season.
That's shocking. Yeah, so even if Klay goes back to making like 40 or, you know, 35, 40% of his threes, you know, that should be able to, he should
yeah,
be able to.
He's making three a game then, you know, yeah, a little over three a game. So like everyone's so panicked about Klay. It's like, he's getting relatively the same amount of shots. He's just not making them right now.
Dude, that's why Tyler is on the show, man. That's the kind of knowledge the wild man brings. That's fantastic. Yeah. I had no idea he was shooting only 10% from 3-point range. That's abhorrent. And right. That must change. Like that's gotta change. But then so again, I'll say this about Klay. Like, he struggled shooting for, like, I don't know, like 3 to 4 months. Like, he goes in like 3 to 4 month stretches where he's like slumping from the floor. Like, he did this last year. He did this 2 years ago. So, like, I don't think it's going to be 10%. But, like, Klay goes in these weird funks for, like, extended periods of time, which is really confusing.
Here's something, though, that I think can help benefit anyone, okay? 5.7K seems like a great price for tomorrow. And even if you're playing in your season-long leagues, I think Clay is someone you can buy at a super cheap price and get a really good value, assuming that he's going to hit 40% of his threes like he has for his career, pretty close, even 35% for the season. So, something to think about.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, so that's Clay. Next up, Evan Fournier. The next two guys, both, I'll mention them together, Evan Fournier and Oladipo. They're both 6K. They've both been annoying. Oladipo's price has fallen, like, I think like $1,500 since the start of the season, and rightfully so, because he has not – I don't think he has any idea what to do, you know, on the court with playing next to Russell Westbrook. I mean, he doesn't get the ball that much. I think when he gets it half the time, he's so shocked that he actually has the ball. You know, he like stumbles it off his toe. So, I mean, Oladipo, I mean, he's only a tournament play, and he's risky. I hope at some point during the season that he can, you know, find his way on that OKC team and Westbrook gives him the ball a little bit more. But right now, I don't really want much Oladipo. I'll probably just play him in a couple lineups just because if for some reason that game stays close with Golden State, you know, and Oladipo does have some nice numbers. But he has not looked good to start the year, that's for sure. And the other guy, Tyler, is Evan Fournier. Again, like, I thought he's going to be, you know, kind of be Orlando's – maybe their top option. Maybe he still is. But he just hasn't been consistent. 34 FanDuel points, that's been his best game of the year. So when you're if your salary is 6K and your ceiling is 34 FanDuel points, that's not very great. Now the matchup is nice versus Sacramento, but like Fournier just hasn't looked that good. Even though he's getting nice minutes, I'm not a huge fan. I think there's just guys with better upside for Thursday. But with that said, I'll still play him in some tournaments because I do think he can. Like we've seen last year, he had some 40, 50 FanDuel point nights. So he's got the potential, but just hasn't shown it this year at all.
You want to play my fun with numbers game again?
For which one?
Evan Fournier.
Sure.
How many shots do you think Fournier is getting?
Is that the title of the game? Is it called Fun with Numbers?
Yep.
I think you need to catch your title.
Well, I leave you for the titles.
All right.
I'm just the game man. How many shots is he getting per game?
So I was 16. Let's say 16.
Exactly 16. No, he's a career 44.7% shooter. Okay, he's only shooting 40.6% this season. Okay. So you got to think that's going to come up a little bit, okay? Now, how many three-point attempts has he taken in a game?
Five.
Five and a half, okay? He's only hitting 31.8%, and he's a career 38.7% shooter. So if he can even come up, you know, even bring those up closer to his career averages, he's already averaging 16.8 points per game.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets up to his career averages, he's averaging right around 20. I mean –
Yeah, I mean, and the minutes and the shots are there against, you know, for Orlando right now. So, I mean, and 6K is a fair price. It's just, yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys like Clay who just started the season, you know, not shooting well. So,
right. And I guess more so, I mean, tomorrow's a good match against Sacramento. Like, I don't love the play. I don't hate the play because obviously the shot hasn't been falling, but more in your season-long leagues, like, this is a guy who people are like, oh, Evan Fournier, I'm ready to drop him. And I'm thinking to myself, like, he's just missing his shots right now. Like, he's going to be fine.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. Don't be crazy. If he's in a season-long league, I mean, he very well could end up being Orlando's best player for this year. So, do not dare drop him in a season-long league. So – if you want to punt at shooting guard, Tyler, you got two options. J.R. Smith, I don't want to say much about him. He's boom or bust. I don't even know what his ceiling is these days. I mean, like, you know, a few years ago he used to, you know, he was capable of hitting like 7, 8 three pointers. Is he still even that guy? I mean, I don't know. So I probably won't play. Watch, he probably will now on Thursday. But so I'm not a huge J.R. Smith guy.
Well, 4.4, okay. He needs what, like 22 points? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, about 23.
He got 21.6 and 27.5 in his last two.
How many minutes?
I was not looking at that. I was looking at the FanDuel thing, so I can run that for you quick, though.
I just want, I mean, I would assume like in the mid-20s, is he getting?
I think so. No, 30.3 for the season.
That's how many minutes?
Before. Yep.
That's pretty good. Oh yeah, that's better than I thought. So yeah, I mean, if J.R. Smith is getting 30 minutes at 4.4K, yeah, he may, yeah, on a 5-game slate, why not? I would throw him in some tournaments then.
And that's what I mean. And he's a GPP play, but he's one of those guys who, I mean, he's getting 9 3-point attempts per game. Okay, so
That's why
far.
I get, yeah, I get, yeah, I guess he is the same J.R. Smith then. Yeah,
And
so.
that's what I mean. He's just chucking the ball. Maybe one day he makes 8 out of 9. Gets lucky, you win your tournament.
Yeah. The other guy, if you want to punt, is Aaron Afalo. Now, I don't like anything about Aaron Afalo. Like, I don't at all. Like, he annoys me. Like, for the last 2 years, he's annoyed me. I had him when he was on Orlando in my season-long fantasy league, and he was really good. And then he got like tra yeah, then he got traded to Sacramento. He was a disaster. And then I forgot, he's been on like seven teams since then. He's been horrible everywhere else. But he is 3.8K. It's dirt cheap, and he's playing 41 minutes. Or he played, I mean, his last game he played 41 minutes. So that's a lot of minutes. Now, granted, that was I think Sacramento. They went overtime against Miami, but still, he is starting for. Think finally, Sacramento is not starting Ben McLemore. So Aaron Afalo, 3.8K. He's getting some decent minutes. Now, the ceiling isn't that high. I mean, even when he played 41 minutes, he only put up 22 FanDuel points. But if you do want to punt at shooting guard, you could punt with a follow. Then you could fill up the rest of your lineup with Durant, with Giannis, with Cousins, or whoever you want. So it's an option. All right, man, let's move on to small forward. So you got the three studs at top: Durant, LeBron. Or actually, I'm not including Paul George in this anymore. I am not. You got the two studs at top: Durant and LeBron. Durant 9.7K, LeBron 9.5K. Durant has been an absolute beast. He's been by far Golden State's best player in real life and in fantasy against Westbrook. Man, it's going to be tough not to play him in that monster over-under game. So I love me some Durant for Thursday. Is Durant, would he be your top small forward ahead of LeBron for Thursday?
Yeah, if I'm picking between the two, I'm going for Durant. I just think he might want to try to stick one in Westbrook's crawl and get the big points in the, you know.
I don't know what you're trying to say there, but I think did you have a joke and then you just didn't want to say it? Is that what happened?
I think so. I
No,
realized it was probably inappropriate, so then
all right. Oh, good. You caught yourself. That's good.
I tried to save it and
So
then.
just some info for the listeners. So like our stupid Mark, who like only joins us like once a week and then like plays with his family of 17 kids, Mark Roberts, as you all know, who we love, Tyler. So when Mark originally made the podcast. Actually, maybe it was Kyle. They did it so it was like rated G, so we can't swear at all, and if we do, we have to like edit it out, and it's a big pain to do. So the fact that so Tyler, that's why a lot of times, me and Tyler have to, or anyone has to catch ourselves if we are going to say something inappropriate. So that's a good job by you, Tyler.
Thanks, Daniel.
And Tyler's the one who edits the shows, so it's even especially important that. That he didn't want to make that mistake because it would just cost him more time after we tape the podcast. Anyway, let's go back to a small forward. LeBron 9.5K versus Boston. Now, if Jay Crowder is going to be out, which I'd be shocked if he plays because that looked like a really bad ankle injury. Yeah, I think that's a good sign for LeBron. But I think I'd rather probably have Durant. So LeBron, as of right now, is only going to be used in tournaments. However, he's always a good play. I mean, come on, it's LeBron freaking James. So 9.5K, that's a very reasonable salary for him. The other guy, who is,
I'll break some news for you real quick.
go ahead.
Boston, after their game tonight, said Jay Crowder is out at least 1 week with his ankle sprain, so he will definitely not be
Yeah, I
playing.
mean that looks really bad. I mean he basically. He turned it and he immediately like sprinted on one leg, like hopped all the way to the locker room, and he was like screaming in pain. I guess in the locker room, like so that's not surprising at all. So yeah, all right. So there you go. That means Marcus Smart's probably gonna be. We already mentioned Marcus Smart, but no Jay Crowder. So that I don't know. That makes me like LeBron a little bit more, I guess, but also makes me think that could be Cleveland should blow Boston out on a back to back. So, but 9.5K, fair price. The other guy we got to talk about, though, and this is a guy who has cost me some money, so I hate him even more than normal. And that's Paul George. He's 9.2K. Why FanDuel is his price not dropping? Like, come on. So he hasn't hit value once this year yet. He's been really erratic. He's been between 24 and 44 FanDuel points. However, his last game he did have 30 actual points. So this is the last game Indiana played, was probably the best game he's played. Now we all know the upside's there. He's similar. I guess in some ways he's similar to like Klay Thompson, who just hasn't been shooting the ball well. He's starting the year a little bit slow. Now I'd like to see that price a little bit lower. With that said, on a small slate, five games, I will use him in tournaments because he's going to be low owned. Everyone's going to be on Durant tomorrow. Everyone's going to play LeBron. So Paul George, the ownership's going to be low. That means in big tournaments, I want me some Paul George, although I'm not going to be super confident about it.
I totally agree. I mean, like we talked about a little bit earlier, it's so hard to predict with, you know, they got so many mouths to feed and they can spread the ball around so much that, like, he's only a tournament play for me. Tomorrow could be his big game, but it could just as easily be Ellis's or Miles Turner.
Trying to think, like, who's Milwaukee gonna defend him on Milwaukee? Is Giannis gonna be on Paul George?
I would think.
Yeah. So.
So that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, that's a tough matchup, man.
Giannis is crazy.
That's gonna be fun to watch, though. Paul George versus Giannis, too.
I agree. I'll probably be tuning into that one.
Yeah. Next up, man, you got the one trick pony, Rudy Gay. I always fade Rudy Gay. And I always fade DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan has cost me so much freaking money because I'm not playing him. I keep fading him because his usage rate is through the roof. He's been shooting through the roof. He's shooting like 25 shots a game. And sure enough, tonight I said, or Wednesday night, I said, you know what? I'm going to fade him. He's got to come back down to earth. He did not. He exploded again for like over 50 FanDuel points. I actually had a really good night on Wednesday night, but I didn't have a great night. Because I didn't play DeMar freaking DeRozan. Now, Rudy Gay is a similar type player, maybe not as good at this point in his career, but he's a one-trick pony. He's really scoring dependent, but he's been really good. And in his last game, he had 30 points and 12 rebounds versus Miami. So, you know, at Orlando, I don't love the matchup. I don't love Rudy Gay, but, like, I'm just going to have some exposure because he's a streaky shooter, and he's been shooting really well.
Well, and the shot attempts are way up from last year when, you know, Rondo was on the team. He's back up to his 2014-2015. He averaged 16.4 shot attempts that year, 16.4 again this year. So, I mean, I think the ability is there to score like 20-21 points a game for Rudy Gay. And the peripheral stats have been way better in the blocks and steals early in the season, but way down in the assists. I don't love Rudy Gay tomorrow, but I think he's a decent play.
Yeah, I mean 7.5K. That's not cheap, but you know if you're looking to differentiate yourself and get away from the Durant, LeBron, Paul George, you know Rudy Gay 7.5K. I mean, his ownership should be low, so it's not a terrible play, especially after seeing what DeMar DeRozan's been doing. So, next guy up is very similar. Andrew Wiggins, another one-trick pony, very scoring-dependent, 6.3K. You know, I'm not a big Andrew Wiggins fan. You know, he just doesn't do enough. I think I mentioned this on a podcast with Kyle a couple nights ago. I'm not sure if did Minnesota play yesterday? I don't remember now. I get all the days confused.
Yeah, they did.
Well, as of like a couple of days ago, Andrew Wiggins had zero assists on the year and zero steals. I don't know if that's still the case or not, but that just goes to show you that you're picking Andrew Wiggins for actual points. And, you know, similar to DeMar DeRozan, similar to Rudy Gay, you need him to score, you need him to shoot and make his shots. And that means he's a tournament play for me only. I'll probably have a little exposure, but I don't love Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, you got like Gallinari and Wilson Chandler guarding him. I think he could score a decent amount, but at 6.3K, you don't love it because he's not going to do anything else.
Yep. So let's see. If you want some cheapies at small forward, a couple options. One is my sneaky ninja of the night. That is Wilson Chandler, 4.8K. No one's been playing Wilson Chandler. Like, I wasn't either until I looked at his stats a couple nights ago. And he's getting over 30. He's not starting anymore for Denver, but he's getting over 30 minutes a game. Now the problem is his production hasn't been great. he's getting you between 16 and 20 FanDuel points. But like I've seen it before with this guy. If he's getting over 30 minutes at only 4.8K, I mean, I think he's gonna bust out one of these nights. So on a 5-game slate, I'm gonna play some Wilson Chandler. Getting all my Chandlers confused. I'm gonna play some Wilson Chandler in some tournaments on Thursday.
Well, and yeah, I mean, you just mentioned Wiggins, not the greatest defender in the world. You could see Wilson Chandler kind of putting up a sneaky good game.
Yep. Other guy, you know, Matt Barnes, 4.2K at Orlando. You know, Matt Barnes, he kind of is what he is. You know, the ceiling's not great, but, you know, he's still getting in the, you know, the mid to high 20s and minute for minutes. You know, his production is kind of all over the place. He's been between 5 and 34 FanDuel points. So, you know, if you roster him, you probably don't feel super safe. But on a 5-game slate, if you're looking to save it, small forward, you know, he's a fine option.
Yeah, and he got thrust in the starting lineup in the last game. Now he played similar minutes to what he had played so far this season. So it really didn't make a huge difference. They kind of just switched who was starting, but then the rotation stayed pretty much the same as far as minutes went. I mean, he's one of those guys who can fire some three-pointers, and, you know, if he has a hot night where he hits like 4 or 5, get some good value.
Yep. All right, power forward, man. Draymond Green, 8.3K versus OKC. You know, Draymond Green, jack of all trades. I think he's a great play. The key for him in Golden State, you know, is it going to be a close game or is it going to be a blowout? If that game stays close, I think Draymond Green could easily get, you know, 50 plus FanDuel points.
I totally agree. Our friends at Basketball Monster have him rated as a top power forward play tomorrow too. So. They're in agreement.
How many points do they project him for?
Actual or FanDuel?
FanDuel.
I do not have that up, but they're projecting him for 12 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.6 blocks.
I had it. Yeah, they're projecting him for 39.16. So they're really only projecting him to hit value. But that still makes him the top power forward on their board for Thursday. So, yeah, I mean, I think he should be able to get more than that, hopefully. But as long as that game stays close. Next up, Mr. Consistency, Kevin Love, 7.4K. You know, I say it almost every show. He's not sexy, even though he is very handsome. But his game isn't sexy at all. But he's just a nice and safe play. I think the price tag is fine. I think he could easily be priced up closer to that 8K range. So 7.4K for Kevin Love, I think it's a fine play.
Totally agree with that.
Next up, Gorgie, is it Gorgie or Gorgie? I don't know. I think it's just Gorgie.
I would say Gorgie, but I'm not sure that's right.
Yeah, whatever. Let's just call him Dang. 6.5K. Now, that price, man, that price has gone up. And now one thing that, you know, if you play DFS and you've been playing for a while, you know that one thing you'd like to do is attack the Denver bigs. That used to be the scenario. I'm still trying to figure out if that's still the case. Now we got the Nurkic, Jokic, you know, situation going on there. I think it still is. I think you still can attack the Denver bigs. Like I said, Dang's price, you know, it's gone up about $1,000 since the start of the season, but rightfully so. I mean, his numbers have been terrific, Tyler. I mean, he's basically playing 35 minutes and averaging 36 FanDuel points on the year. Like, I can't, like I'm, like, Thibodeau loves him. I mean, I've always been a fan of his, but I am surprised that he's doing this well this early for Minnesota.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. He's gotten more FanDuel points in every game than that value, correct? I mean, the value is only 32.5 was what you're shooting for around till he's gotten over 35 in every game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still getting over that value. And I know Jokic, one of the big things he said he wanted to work on this past offseason, was getting better on defense, especially guarding power forwards. And I don't know that he's quite there yet. I think Dang could put up a nice game here.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only issue right now with Dang is, like, what's his ceiling? Like, is he capable of giving you a 50 FanDuel point night? Is he capable of giving you, you know, what is just, you know, I guess, you know, right now what he's averaging is that's kind of, I mean, his floor and ceilings, to me at least, it seems pretty close together. But still,
exactly.
That's still a pretty nice number. So 6.5K. Nice matchup. You know, I like Dang. Right now, I'm not sure what to do with him at that price. But, I, you know, at some point, I'll figure a way to get him in my lineups. I do like Dang better than the next guy, and that's Thaddeus Young. Thaddeus Young is 6.2K. He's averaging 29 FanDuel points on the year. Similar to Kevin Love, you know, nothing about Thaddeus Young's game is sexy. He's just a productive NBA professional basketball player. So, you know, I like the matchup versus Milwaukee. It's got a nice over-under. I don't know. I don't think Thaddeus Young has a high ceiling. So it makes me, you know, in tournaments, he's not a, you know, he's not a great play, I don't think, on Thursday.
I totally agree. I mean, we talked about that earlier, about they just have so many mouths to feed. And I actually think that's why one of the reasons Vegas, like, keeps setting their over-under so high is they have so many players. You're like, ooh, this guy could score 20 points. Ooh, this guy could score 20 points. And so, like, in Vegas's mind, I think they see, you know, a lot of points because they have a lot of scores.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. All right. The next guy, Tyler, I didn't want to bring up on the show. I didn't want to, but I have to. Serge Ibaka. I'm bringing up Serge again. 5.6K. Who's going to ride or die with me on Serge? This bum, this buster, this reverse Benjamin Button, who someone tweeted me, basically, when I say reverse Benjamin Button, it basically just means he's aging. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, wow, you know what? That's actually right. He's basically just aging. But I just like saying reverse Benjamin Button. I think it's a very cool term. But I expected so much more from Ibaka this year. I don't know why it's upsetting me. Well, probably because I played him with so much on the first – like, I think he started the year around like 4.5K, and he's played like crap, and his price has still rose like about over $1,000, but still. So he's cost me some money, which I don't like, but like, I just don't understand what the hell is wrong with this guy and that whole Orlando team. I'll say this, so the last two games, he's looked a little bit better. You know, he's put up 28 and 30 FanDuel points. So, you know, I'm not going to play a ton of Serge Ibaka on Thursday. I still, right, as of right now, I don't think the ceiling is that high. But just because I'm a stubborn SOB, I'm going to play him in a couple tournaments just because if he does go off, I want to make sure I have him in a lineup or two.
I think he's making Sam Presti look like a genius for trading him away for Victor Oladipo, who was quite possibly the Magic's best player last year.
Here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
And Orlando, that GM should be fired. First of all, they hired Scott Skiles. You should get fired for that. Then you traded Tobias Harris
for nothing.
And Tobias Harris is terrific. Like, that GM should be fired. And you trade Oladipo, and you get 45-year-old Serge Ibaka. But here's a season long question: what the hell would you do with Ibaka? Like, I have him in one of my season long leagues, and it's just annoying. I mean, obviously you can't drop him, but I mean, who's someone that you could trade him for? Would you even try to trade him, or would you just hope that he's going to get better? I mean, I don't know.
I'm waiting for him to have a couple good games where he hopefully blocks a bunch of shots, and then I'm going to whatever team needs a shot blocker, and I'm trying to dump him because I am not believing in the Surge.
How many blocks does he have this year? Is he blocking shots? Is he doing anything?
Four.
Got four in the year.
He's averaging one a game. Yep.
I mean, last game he got four rebounds in 32 minutes. Like, how is that possible?
He's averaging 5.3 rebounds for
just embarrassing. Season. All right, next up, Kenneth Faried, 5.3K. When he gets minutes, he's looked really good. The problem is, who the hell knows how many minutes he's going to get anymore? Like, you know, Darrell Arthur is finally back and playing his season debut for Denver on Thursday. That might eat into his minutes a little bit. They got Jokic and Nurkic, the Twin Towers, who are basically starting. Fried only got 15 minutes and 14 FanDuel points their last game. So, you know, he's a tournament play only for me. And I'll use him in a couple lineups, but I'm just not confident about it.
Yeah, I mean, that whole Fareed, Jokic. I mean, if I'm going to play anyone in the tournament tomorrow, it's going to be Jokic, just because I think his ceiling is so much higher. But, I mean, I don't love any of those Denver guys because you never really know who's going to get the most tonight.
Dude, we forgot to mention Jokic. I think I skipped over him. Jokic is 5.9K. You know, it's just hard with these Denver bigs, man. His price has come down a little bit because his minutes have been, you know, all over the place. He's got 21 minutes, 34, and then 22 minutes. And look at this FanDuel production. 12 FanDuel points, 55 FanDuel points, 14. Dear God. You talk about a boom or bust player. I mean, that's Jokic is exactly that right now. Especially as long as Mike Malone is using him like a yo-yo in terms of his minutes. Yeah, Jokic has tremendous upside. It's just, I don't know. I guess if you play him, you go to a church or temple and you pray and you hope he gets minutes. Like, what else can you do?
I totally agree. Especially with Darrell Arthur coming back. They could throw him in there tomorrow for 10 or 15 minutes. And, Malone makes me scratch my head.
Yeah, the only good thing about Jokic is that the price is now, I think it was like 6.2K maybe, now it's 5.9. So it did come down a little bit. But he's a tournament only play at this point. Do not use him in cash games because he's just too risky. Let's see. So if you want to punt, I'll give you one punt play at power forward, and that's Amir Johnson. So without Jay Crowder, and this is only be contingent on if Al Horford doesn't play too. So if there's no Al Horford, Amir Johnson went nuts for Chicago. In the third quarter, he hit 4 3-pointers. And now that I'm now that Dwayne Wade's in Chicago, I'm a huge Chicago fan. So I threw the remote at my TV and was furious. Because basically, like, on two of those threes, he was, like, fading away. It was absurd. But I think Amir Johnson is a better play than Tyler Zeller, quite honestly, even if Tyler Zeller starts. Now, Zeller's a center on FanDuel, and Amir Johnson is a power forward. So, that changes things. But still, if you want to punt at power forward and Al Horford is out tomorrow, I think Amir Johnson is an okay play.
I totally agree. He's going to probably get big minutes if Horford sits out. And at 4,000, you just love the price.
Yep. All right, so finally, let's move on to center. Man. I need a sip of water. All right. First up, hashtag the big mope. That's DeMarcus Cousins. This bumbling buffoon, it is just infuriating to watch him play. Like, his price has come down, though. It's all the way down to 9.6K now. At Orlando, could not ask for a better matchup against one of the worst defending big man in the game, Vucevic. Maybe they'll play Bismack a little bit to guard Cousins, but still, I think Cousins, obviously the upside's there. I don't know what to make of him, man. He's not consistent. He's so temperamental. He's immature. I'm trying to look at his stats for the year. If you look at his stats, 33 FanDuel points, 58, 42, 28, 42. So he basically, he needs to give you about 48 to hit value. He's done that one time this year. I'm probably not going to use him in cash games, but I'll use him in tournaments.
Here's the thing too, that 58 FanDuel game was on the second of a back-to-back against San Antonio. King's schedule has been brutal so far this year. They play tomorrow and then they have a day off and they play another back-to-back. So they have crazy 5-game week this week. I'm not loving Cousins tomorrow. I think that the team just beat up. They've flew across country from Sacramento actually earlier this week, and then they've stayed here all week. I'm not loving Cousins tomorrow.
Did you see what happened to him in the fourth quarter against Miami?
Yeah.
He got six fouls in one quarter.
Yeah.
It's like amazing. Yeah, it's impossible. Even Andrew Bogut was proud of that moment. So I think my favorite play at center, finally, I can play some Karl Anthony Towns. He's had really tough matchups to start the year. I know some people have been, a little concerned in season-long leagues. But I think it's just because of the matchup. He's played Memphis twice and Marc Gasol, who's a really good defender. So finally, a nice matchup versus Denver. 8.6K. It's somewhat expensive, but he's worth the risk. And I think he has monster upside. I think he's got a pretty safe floor. And I like him a lot on Thursday.
Totally agree.
If you want to spend down a little bit, you got Miles Turner. His price has come down a little bit now. It's 6.9K at Milwaukee. I think this is a nice matchup. I think his ownership is going to be low due to recency bias. He only put up about 22 FanDuel points in his last game. I know he crushed a lot of my lineup, so I'm definitely gonna play a fair amount of Miles Turner in tournaments on Thursday.
I like Miles Turner a lot tomorrow, so I agree with that.
Then you got Nurkic at 5.6K versus Karl Anthony Towns. You know, we've already talked about the Nurkic, Jokic, Fareed thing. So, I mean, Nurkic, his price has come, you know, has come way up because last game he played 38 minutes and had 47 FanDuel points. So, I mean, it's like playing Russian roulette with Nurkic and Jokic. I mean, it's basically like every game, one of those two is going to go off, and like it's very unlikely that they're both going to go off. It's just very hard to figure out which one. I would think that the one matchup against Karl Anthony Towns is probably going to struggle a little bit, so I'd probably lean Jokic tomorrow if I had to. So I'm not going to play a ton of Nurkic at 5.6K, but that, you know, he still does have upside if you want to throw him in some tournaments.
Well, and here's the thing, too. He's crushed. I mean, he only needs like 28 FanDuel points to hit value. He crushed that in two of the three games with 39 and 47 FanDuel points.
Yep.
So, I mean, the upside's there, so you got to look at him in tournaments.
Yep. Then you got Steven Adams. His price keeps creeping up. Now it's at 5.3K. You know, I think he's just he's a safe play. He's going to get big minutes. You know, he doesn't get the ball a ton on offense. So you got to hope he gets some offensive rebounds, some easy alley oops with a pick and roll with Russell. But I think it's an okay play if you want to use him in cash games maybe. But I don't think the ceiling's that high. But I think he's got a nice safe floor.
I totally agree there.
Then there's a couple of just guys that, ugh, you know, if you really want to punt at center, I get you. Tristan Thompson, 4.3K. That's all I'm going to say about that. He's, you know, not very low ceiling. But you know, if you just want to, you know, want someone with a okay floor, and you want to throw away some money, you can just play Tristan Thompson. Zaza Pachulia, 3.9K. Man. For starting center, that's pretty cheap. He has not looked great, but for 3.9K, I mean, I'm pulling up his game log. So yeah, he's not playing a lot of minutes. He's basically playing 20 minutes a game, and he's given you about 16 FanDuel points. But hey, I mean, if at only 3.9K, that's, you know, if you want to punt at center, you know, I guess you could. You know, and lastly, Tyler Zeller. Again, if Al Horford's out, the Celtics started Zeller on Wednesday. He did okay. I mean, he had 17 FanDuel points. I mean, that's about it. You know, that's probably the best, you know, best you can hope for. The ceiling's not very high for Tyler Zeller. Even if he starts, he's not going to play more than like 24 minutes. I think, you know, as we said a couple minutes ago, Amir Johnson is going to get a lot of those minutes too. So, you know, Tyler Johnson and Zaza, Tristan Thompson, all three of those guys, not huge upsides. But if you just need to punt because you're looking to open up some money in the rest of your lineup, you know, you can use one of those guys.
Totally agree.
Woo, man. Anything else? I think for a five-game slate, we covered a lot of territory.
I feel like it was a good show. You want to get to your other note you left at the top here?
Oh, yeah. So – everyone, you guys should help us out, and you should subscribe and rate the podcast. This is actually really important, as it, you know, the more people that subscribe and rate, then we can actually get some sponsors. And if we get some sponsors, we have one, the lovely No Halftime, who's fantastic to us. But if we can get another one, another two, that means my dog can get a subscription to BarkBox. And my dog, you know, he told me he really wants that, which is, you know, so you guys really should subscribe and rate the podcast. And when you rate it, you should give us 5 stars. And you should say you love the wild man, Tyler Watts. And you could say something nice about me if you want as well. And yeah. And then obviously that means we'll do more shows as well. So it's just, if you like the show, it really does make a difference. And it increases our rankings in the iTunes, whatever that, whenever you search on like iTunes, which is, it actually is really helpful for us. So, you know, we really would appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll mention this. Even if you don't have iTunes, if you listen on Stitcher or any of those like podcatcher things, they have a way you can rate and review us on there. Feel free to do that. It's just helps us out.
Yeah, and lastly, hopefully you guys know I run a daily tournament called the Judge's Chambers in the DFS realm. I am known as the Judge. It is a $2 entry fee. It's a lot of fun. You should get in there. Kyle, the you know the lovely Kyle McEwen played for the first time yesterday, and he finished second. So good for Kyle. Congrats. That was a really good showing for him. It's a lot of really really top notch guys in the DFS community. So it really is a lot of fun though. So if you do want to play in that, just let me know. Send me a tweet. I'll make sure you get in, or I'll do the best I can. And I think that's all I got, man. Anything else, Tyler?
No, that's about it, man. I think it was a good show.
All right, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we got the only thing we got to work on for next show is we need a better nickname for your game show.
All right, I'll work on that.
All right, man. All right, guys. So enjoy the basketball Thursday night. Hope you make a lot of money, and we'll be back for the Friday's slate, which looks like there's some really good games on Friday too. So have a good night, guys. See you later.